Please join me in welcoming our 10-minute speaker, Kelly App, from San Luis
Obispo.
Hi, I'm Kelly. I'm an alcoholic. Wow. There's a lot of you people out there. This seems like, I don't know, I'm really nervous. This seems like a grown-up meeting of all the meetings. I don't know, like the fancy grown-up meeting. So I'm a little intimidated, but I'll probably get over it. So my sobriety date is March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, 2014. And Richard, for that, I'm truly grateful. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor. And I have taken all 12 steps of this program in order. So those are my bona fides. Before I start talking about me like I want to do, I'm going to say something that's really important for the newcomers, Shelly and Rebecca. So this is a 12-step program. There is only one program of recovery suggested in the Big Book. It's only one. And they said it just now. It's the 12 steps. That's it. There's no other program. I read that blue book from cover to cover. I have not found another program of recovery suggested in that book. I looked for one. I wanted to find one that said, we came to meetings, we drank coffee, we smoked cigarettes, we hit on chicks, and we got to stay sober. And that program isn't in there, and it doesn't work because I tried it. All right. Oh shit. I gotta set my timer. Because I'm probably gonna go over now.
That was 8 minutes already.
Oh shit. And thank you, Gary. All right, boom, we're going. Okay. So what was I gonna say? Oh, so I got a text on like Monday from Lucas, if I would be the 15-minute speaker. That's what I got my timer set for at this meeting. And that was like Monday. And that is way too much notice for me. Like, because what happens is, if I get too much notice, I start thinking about what I'm going to say. And I start rehearsing what I'm going to say. And so I'm writing this imaginary script up in my head. And then also the script comes with audience responses. So like the audience laughed. The woman in the front row shed a tear, you know, that kind of shit. And so it's really bad because I get like expectations and it's horrible. And apparently you guys never get your copy of the script because you don't do it right. I'll say something that I think is hilarious and I'll get this, like I'm getting right now. Or, you know, something tragic and you guys will laugh. And so I tried really hard not to think about what I'm doing tonight, speaking. Tried really hard not to think about it. And I did really well. Mostly because little lifey things were happening, you know, car wouldn't start, computer, internet went down, blah, 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 whatever. I did great until like Thursday at 3 a.m. And then this little guy in the back of my head, I've got several little guys in the back of my head. One of them likes to tell me that I'm a piece of shit. Another one likes to tell me that I, likes to go, like, I'll say something or I'll think something that I think is funny. And he'll go, say it, that's fucking funny. And I'll go, wait a minute, should we run that through the appropriateness filter? And he goes, no, just say it. And it out comes, you know, it comes right on out. And a lot of times it's not appropriate. So there's that guy. And then there's the guy who says, you need to worry right now. And that was the guy who got me up at 3 a.m. Hey, did you forget you're speaking Saturday night? You better start rehearsing. So this has been rehearsed multiple times in my head. Thursday at 3 a.m. till, you know, whenever I got to work. And the script has been written. So I don't know if you guys got your copy, but I don't want to give it away. But at the end, there's going to be thunderous applause and a standing ovation. That's how it went in my head. All right. So did that. Okay. All right, so there's all that. I don't know. I'm a drunk guy. I drank a lot. I drank my way here like almost, I think pretty much everyone did. I guess I'll just start talking. So I drank real early, came from a family of dysfunction, like a lot of you, not all of you, but many of you did. Some of you came from perfect families, and good for you. But you're still here, so you won. It is kind of like hitting the lottery. Anyway, you're an anomaly, but you're still here. I came from that bad, you know, dysfunctional family, drunk and violent dad and all that. It doesn't really matter. But I started drinking when I was, first time I drank, got drunk, really, really drunk. I was 8 years old. And I remember talking to a shrink about that once, and she said, and I said, yeah, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't problematic. I said, yeah. She's like, wait a minute. You have a young child. If he got drunk at his age, would you consider that problematic? And I'm like, oh yeah, I guess it was problematic. Anyway, I'm 8 years old. I didn't know. I was full of fear, full of, you know, just hypervigilant, anxious all the time. Just, well, because, you know, lots of shit going on in my family. It was like chaotic and like a war zone. Anyway, when I got drunk that first time at 8 years old, all that fear went away from me. I felt comfortable for the very first time. I was like, ah, man, I didn't know I needed a drink, but damn, I really did. And it felt great, and I chased it for a long time. Obviously, when you're 8, you don't go drinking all the time. But by the time I was 12, I'm drinking regularly. 13, 14, I'm doing all kinds of other stuff. Y'all call them outside issues. I call them drugs. That's what they are. And I was also a little criminal. I was doing felonies, burglaries, and the car theft. I got arrested for that at 14. And that was good because I got a probation officer talk to me in a way I could understand. Explained what he told my fortune for me. He said, this is what your future looks like, son. And I believed him. He told me about prison and what it was like and how much fun I was going to have there. I believed him, and he scared me straight as far as doing felonies was concerned, but I still kept drinking and drugging and doing all that. And I did it enough to where by the time I was 23, I came here to see you guys, and I said, help me, I'm an alcoholic guy. And I started doing what you guys suggested. I came to meetings, I worked some steps, I got me a sponsor. And then my sponsor moved away, and I was on the fourth step. And to me, that was God's way of saying, you don't have to do any more steps. So I didn't, but I still didn't, drink anything, but I didn't do any more steps. And I managed to stay dry for like 7 years. But I drifted away from you guys, drifted away from AA. I didn't wake up one day and say, fuck AA, you know, I'm not coming back anymore. It just was a slow, you know, just went away. But in spite of that crappy program I was working, life got really good. I had all the toys. I had all the stuff on the surface. It looked really good. So I had the house, the car, the trophy wife, and all that good stuff. And then one day, trophy wife came home and said, I don't love you anymore and I want a divorce. Now, I didn't see that coming. I probably should have because I had a trophy mistress on the side. So I probably should have seen that one coming, but I didn't. And I was ill-equipped for handling difficulty in my life at that time. And I devised a plan. My plan was I'm going to drink and drug for 6 months to get through the pain of this divorce. So I did that, and then 13 years later, I got clean and sober again. So, and that time, you know, I really did what you guys suggested. I got a sponsor, I worked all the steps, life got okay, got decent, got all right. I forgot. I took a hostage during that 13 years, and we had a kid together. And she was part of the reason I got sober again, because, you know, she was getting tired of my shit. And I could tell she was getting tired of my shit, and was probably, I could tell she probably wanted me to leave, because she said, get the fuck out. anyway, but I got sober again, and life got pretty good. And then that woman who said, get the fuck out, well, after I got sober, she said, you know, you can come back and we'll see how it goes. Well, apparently it didn't go well enough for her, because she said, you know, I'm not happy and I don't want to be with you anymore. And that was almost 6 years sober at that point. And I was still hanging out with you guys. I was sponsoring guys. I was being of service. I was doing all that shit. But I was, I moved out, and I'm living in this shitty little trailer in a shitty little trailer park. And I was really, really depressed and suicidal, but I didn't tell anybody that. I'd come to meeting, because I felt like, I'm almost 6 years sober, I can't be depressed, which was really dumb. I should have got outside help, I should have, you know, talked about what was going on, but I didn't. And I put on this happy face for you all, and, you know, like, I'm sober, yay, I'm happy. that was bullshit. But so what happened was, obviously, I did not kill myself in my suicidal thinking. I went and got a bottle and drank once again. And that little run lasted like 3 years. And then I came back here because I was really tired of being me. How much time do I have? I'm doing good. Yay. I'm going to get sober again. Okay. Sober again this time. So I came back, because I was tired of living the way I was living, and I knew there was a better way. And I was also tired of the hypocrisy of what I was doing, because at that point in my life, I was a drug and alcohol counselor, and I still am. And I was, you know, I was telling people how to do, you know, those who can do and those who can't teach. So that was my philosophy at the time. So I came back, and I did what you guys suggested, and I got me a sponsor, and I worked all the steps. And I would love to report that life got really good and everything was bitching all over again. But what happened was life got really lifey really quick. And at 5 months sober, that my son's mother, that girl that I took as a hostage when we had a kid, she died. And I was not expecting that. life got really lifey, and I was like, holy shit, I was overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, I got this 15-year-old kid, and he doesn't have a mother, and I don't know. I don't know how to deal with that. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be his father for this kid. His mom just died, and there was some contentious stuff going on with her side of the family. There were my son's grandmother was suing my son, her grandson, for $50,000. So anyway, it was really ugly. It was bad, and I was feeling overwhelmed by everything, and I call my sponsor and whine, and he would, I'll never forget this. He always pointed me to service, always pointed me to service. So one night I call him up, I'm whining, I'm telling him I'm overwhelmed, and I don't know what to do, and I'm blah, 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 and his grandmother, and blah, 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 blah. And he goes, hey, did you get that phone number from that? Do you still have that phone number from that newcomer from the other night? And I said, yeah, why? You know, I've got whining to do. Like, shut up. he goes, okay, so here's what's going to happen. I'm going to hang up right now, and you're going to call that newcomer. And he did, and I did, and it was the best advice he could have given me. He was always pushing me towards service. Because what happened was, I got out of me and my problems, and I got into you and your problems. And that made my problems seem small by comparison. Just talk to a newcomer, you'll find out. and service has been huge for me. Service in this round of sobriety has been huge. And I look for opportunities to be service. And one of the first things that my readings that my sponsor pointed me to was that part of the big book that says, our real purpose is to fit ourselves to be of maximum service to God and those around us. And at that time in my sobriety, I thought that was a great idea for you guys. I thought that sounded like advanced AA. Like, I can't handle that. If you guys could just fit yourselves to be a maximum service to me, that would be awesome. But anyways, it's turned out to be a great thing. And some days I come in and I, every day I'm looking to be of service. But some days that is my job, is to be of service. But I have found out, because I've talked about shit that's going on in my life, that some days my job is to allow other people the privilege of being of service to me. And that's a new one for me, because I don't like to ask for help. None of us do, I don't think. Anyway, I'm going to tell one story and then I'm going to be gone. So during that time, I'm almost done. Okay, during that time when the son's mother had died and stuff, my sponsor is like, go to meetings and just talk about what's going on. And somebody will come up to you and tell you how they dealt with it, you know, how they helped their kid. So I'm going to meetings and I'm saying, hey, this is what's going on in my life. If you got any experience raising a 15-year-old whose mom just died, hit me up after the meeting. And nobody did for like 2 months. Nobody hit me up. And then one day I'm driving by the Alano Club and it's like almost 5:30 and I got nothing going on, nothing to do. So I pull in and I go to this meeting and I do the usual spiel, blah, blah, blah. Son's mother died. You got any experience, hit me up. And after the meeting, I'm sitting out there smoking cigarettes like I used to do. this youngster, like young kid, like 25 years old, comes walking towards me with purpose. And I can tell he's going to try to lay some knowledge on me. And I'm not having it because I know he's got nothing to tell me. He's 15 or he's 25. What's he going to tell me about raising a 15-year-old whose mother just died? So he's either going to, you know, talk to me or he's going to bum a cigarette off me. Either way, I'm annoyed. So, anyway, he comes up to me. Hi, my name's Joe. Not his real name. AA, blah, blah. And he said, I heard what you said in there. And I wanted you to know my mom died when I was 15. And he told me, he laid knowledge on me. He told me what helped him. He told me his experience. Told me what didn't help him, and what he gave me was so much more valuable than what some, you know, adult going, this is what I did, my kid, so much more valuable. And by the way, I'd never seen that kid before, and didn't see him again for 2 years. And so I thought, for 2 years, I walked around thinking, God just laid this dude, angel, on me for that reason, to fill that purpose for me in my life. And a couple years later, I see Joe sitting on the sidewalk outside of Melody, kicking heroin, it turns out. And I'm like, Joe, is that you? And he goes, yeah. And the next words out of his mouth just blew me away. He goes, hey, how's your son? He's kicking heroin. It's 2 years later, and he asked me how my son is. Fuck. And I could have missed all that if I wouldn't have stuck around with you guys. And I'm so grateful for that, you know. I've learned in this little round of sobriety that if I don't show up for AA, AA can't show up for me. So thanks for showing up for me tonight.
Another big round of applause for Kelly.